7. We began last week looking at Jesus raising the son of the widow woman of Nain. I want to continue to look at this particular healing miracle, and we'll read verses 11 through verse 17 of Luke chapter 7. And it came to pass the day after that he, Jesus, went into a city called Nain. Many of his disciples went with him, and much people. And when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. Much people of the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, or the casket, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying, That a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea, and throughout all the region round about. By way of quick review, we know, of course, that Jesus raised three, that we have record of, three individuals from the dead. This is the first that we have dealt with of the three. There was the daughter of Jairus, and she was in the bed. She had just died when Jesus caused her to rise. There is the widow woman, the son of the widow woman that we just read. We see that he's in the casket. And we see, of course, Lazarus, who, of course, was in the grave. So we have Jesus raising people from the dead at different times in their death. It doesn't mean they were more, one was more dead than the other. You're dead, you're dead. But what it does show is, because each of these miracles is a picture of salvation, Christ can raise the dead regardless, whether they be in the bed, whether it be in the casket, or whether it be in the grave. Doesn't matter. And the lesson is, of course, Christ can save a sinner regardless of how old they are, regardless of how deep in sin they might be. We see also the timing of this miracle, which there's many lessons here. In verse 11, it came to pass the day after. The day after, that is, the day after that Jesus Christ had healed the centurion's servant. And we see that many people were following Jesus at this time. We see in verse 11, we have many of his disciples went with him. They're following him. Jesus Christ has just healed this servant, and they're rejoicing. But then we read, and much people. These are distinguished from the disciples. These would be unsaved people. So we have a multitude of people following Jesus the day after he had healed the centurion's servant. These individuals that are with Christ, the disciples, and much people, they would have witnessed this particular miracle. They were with Jesus when he raised this young man from the dead. But what is another lesson we have here, and we mentioned this last week, we have Jesus and the multitude that is with him, and they're happy. They're rejoicing. They're coming, and you have the widow, you have a funeral procession coming from the other way. And they're as sad as can be. And again, there's many lessons there. as we mentioned last week, never forget when you're rejoicing, someone else is going through a tragedy. And when you're going through a tragedy, others are rejoicing. We don't all go through tragedies at one time, and the world doesn't revolve around you. Don't expect the world to stop and everybody to feel sorrow because you're experiencing a tragedy. These people were rejoicing at this time. Another group of people are experiencing a great tragedy. You can drive, get in your car, and you can be as happy as can be, and you pass by a funeral home, and you see the parking lot is full. People under completely different circumstances than you. You can drive by a hospital, and you can just picture the emergency room. You can picture critical care unit. All through that hospital, there are people experiencing completely different things. So there's a valuable lesson here. We see that this widow woman, she had experienced sorrow in the past. She was a widow. So this isn't the first time that she had experienced death. This isn't the first time that she had experienced the death of a loved one. And whether it's your first time or your 50th time, it really doesn't matter. It's sorrow either way. But she had experienced this in the past. She had a sorrowful past. But right now, she's in much pain, much distress, much sorrow. And she has a bleak future because she is a widow woman. In those days, of course, didn't have the programs that you have now. And this woman had really, being a widow, and her only son now gone, she didn't have a whole lot to look forward to as far as finances were concerned. Now, we want to see, we began looking at this last week, we see Jesus, what he did on this occasion. We see, first of all, he came where she was. It was no accident that Jesus, the day after, started to head to Nain. He was there for this widow woman. He was there for her son, who was in the casket. And he was there for the much people that were with this woman. And this would also take place for the benefit of the disciples that were with Christ and the much people that were with Christ. So here's this woman, and as we said last week, if you think of that funeral procession, each step that this woman was taking was bringing her closer to the cemetery, closer to the cemetery where she would bury her son. Each step brought her closer to something very, very dreadful, something very, very sorrowful. And though she had a group of people with her, and these people, of course, were there to comfort her, and no doubt they cared for her, but no matter how many people there were, and no matter how much these people loved her, and no matter how hard they tried to comfort her, they could not prevent the eventual arrival at the gravesite where she would bury her son. So in her mind, each step is bringing her closer to that cemetery. But unknown to her, each step of that funeral procession is also bringing her closer and closer and closer to the only one who could help her, to the only one who could remedy the situation. Now we're told here in the account in verse 13, and when the Lord saw her, when the Lord saw her, Doesn't say when he saw the young man in the casket. Doesn't say when he saw the much people that had gathered for this occasion. And when he saw her, it means much more than he caught a glimpse of her. The Lord saw her. What that means is the Lord knew all about her. He knew all about her son. He knew all about everyone who was in that crowd, but he saw her. He knew her. He understood everything that she was thinking. He understood everything that she was suffering. He knew all about her weariness. He knew all about her pain. He knew all about her fear. He knew all about her sorrow and her distress. He knew all about her misery and her agony and her grief and her pain. Again, those that were with her, they knew something of her sorrow. They knew something of her distress. They knew something of her misery. But they didn't know it all. Even those who had experienced the death of a child and had buried a child, I'm sure there were some in that crowd that had already experienced what this widow woman was now experiencing. But even if that be so, you still don't know completely. That's why you can't really say, I know how you feel. Well, you really don't. You have an idea, but you don't know exactly. Because each situation is different. And just because you felt one way doesn't mean the next person is going to feel the same way, going through the very same thing. You can sympathize because you've been there, but you don't know exactly how they feel. There's only one who knows that, and that's the Lord. And he's the one, of course, who has the remedy. So Jesus is there, and is he not there without even being invited? The widow woman, no one in that crowd invited him. He was there without being invited. He was there as everything that this woman needed, everything that her son needed, everything that everybody in that crowd needed. And he was there to bring relief and joy. I mean, Jesus knew what he was going to do. And he was there to bring relief. He was there to bring joy. And no one can bring the relief that Christ can bring. No one can bring the joy that Christ can bring. Again, the people that were with her helped her immensely, as we most of us have experienced when people gather around us in a time of death. It helps us. But no one can bring the relief and the joy that Jesus can bring. So he's there, and he sees her. And it says in verse 13, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. He had compassion on her. There are five other miracles that Christ performed where his compassion is specifically mentioned. This is one of six, but there are five others where it is said that Jesus had compassion. Sometimes it said he was moved with compassion. Notice in Matthew 14 and verse 14, we have the miracle of the feeding of over 5,000 people. And it says in verse 14, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude. Again, that doesn't mean that he just caught a glimpse of them, but he knew. He knew. He saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Notice in Matthew 15, verse 32, we have the feeding of over 5,000 people. Matthew 15, verse 32. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. Again, Jesus said, I have compassion on the multitude. Matthew 20, we have the healing of two blind men. And verse 34, Matthew 20, verse 34. And Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Notice in the book of Mark, chapter 1, book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 41, we have the healing of a leper. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him. Again, Jesus was moved with compassion. Mark chapter 5, verse 19, we have the demon-possessed man of Gadara. Mark 5, verse 19. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And now we come to this funeral procession, coming out of the city of Nain, and Jesus meets this procession, accompanying the young man to his grave, and it says that he saw the widow, and he had compassion. He had compassion upon her. He knew everything about this woman's past. He knew everything about this woman's present. He knew everything about this woman's future. And he felt compassion. Compassion is a feeling of several things. It is a feeling of pity. It is a feeling of sympathy. It is a feeling of concern and love. And Jesus had compassion. But you'll notice when Jesus has compassion, he always does something. You and I can have compassion and not be able to do anything. But Jesus, when he had compassion, it followed that he did something. The compassion of Christ, it really is simply the mercy of God and the communication of that mercy. So Jesus, arriving on the scene, he sees this woman. He has compassion on her, and then he speaks to her and said unto her. Now, everyone else that was there could hear, but he spoke directly to her. He said unto her, Weep not. Now, he was not condemning her for weeping. He was not even rebuking her for weeping and expressing sorrow. What he was doing here, and he's the only one who can do it, what he was doing was he was assuring her that everything was going to be okay. Everything is going to be all right. Because he knew what he was about to do. He knew he was about to remove the point of sorrow. He was about to take away what was causing the sorrow. So he says to this woman, Weep not. Which, again, he's simply telling her, it's going to be okay. Everything is going to be okay. And then the next thing he did, verse 14, and he came, so he approached the casket. He came and touched the bier. He came and touched the bier, the casket. they that bear him, they who were carrying that casket, they stopped. They stood still, which shows the power and authority of Christ. Those who were carrying that casket did not necessarily know that it was Christ who had just taken a step toward that casket, but they stopped. And then he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." So he touched the casket and he spoke to the dead. Jesus reaches forth, touches the casket, a sign that he was about to do something. As a result, they who were carrying him stood still, again showing the power and the authority of Christ. And also, I believe, showing that the people were really anticipating for Jesus to do something. But what's important here is the whole funeral procession. The entire funeral procession is at a standstill. Everybody has stopped. And everybody is looking at Jesus. I believe all eyes are off the widow woman. Everyone is looking at Jesus Christ. As he approaches the casket, he touches the casket, and then he said, young man, I, Jesus, say unto thee. And he spoke with power. And he spoke with authority. And he gave a command. A command that the dead cannot respond to unless life is first imparted to them. He said, arise. And I believe with that word, there was the immediate impartation of life. The Lord had imparted to this young man life. And he said, arise. And when the young man sat up, that was evidence that life had been imparted. He did not sit up to obtain life. A dead person can't do that. He has to have life before he can sit up. He sat up because there was the impartation of life. That's the new birth. But we see in all three miracles of resurrection that Christ performed, he spoke directly to the dead. All three times. We have here in Luke 7:14, he spoke directly. Young man, I say unto thee, arise. He didn't speak to the multitude. He spoke to the dead person. Notice in Luke chapter 9, verse 54, we have the daughter of Jairus. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, what? I'm in the wrong chapter here. Luke, I've got a wrong verse, but also John 11, verse 43, Lazarus, come forth. Each time, Jesus spoke directly to the dead. And the result was, as we'll look next week, there was a wonderful change. As soon as Jesus said, young man, arise, a wonderful change took place. That is a picture of the saving of a soul. And all the glory goes to the Lord.
Nobody was congratulating this young man because he sat up. They were praising the Lord because it was the work of God. And so it is with the salvation of a sinner. Let's look to the Lord and word of